Ever since Adam and Eve fell, theologians call it the fall of man. Sin nature was birthed in us. The sin nature is passed down through the seed of man. Every child that's born has the predisposition to sin.
This is Straight Talk.
This is Straight Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Joshua Halleck. I'm here with Pastor Mark Job, author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, this series, Faith That Works. Wow, what a powerful, practical series from the book of James. You've got us now in part two called The Temptation Trap. How do we avoid the temptation trap? And you're taking us through James' teaching here. Give us a little bit of a preview.
Every single listener today knows that they will be tempted or are being tempted right now. In fact, today, as this day has evolved, you've already experienced probably a few temptations. The temptation to envy, the temptation to function in pride, the temptation to get angry. So James tells us that temptation has a way of affecting all of us, and it's a trap that lures us in, that grabs us. And so this is a practical teaching on how to understand how temptation works so that we can understand how to overcome temptation in our lives.
What a practical message. And if we don't understand this message, what is the risk we run?
Well, you know, James reminds us that temptation is deceitful. It lures us in. It takes us. It conceives, and it gives birth to sin. And ultimately, when we find ourselves in a cycle of sin, that brings about spiritual death. There are some people listening to my voice today that you have been given into temptation, and you find yourself spiritually dead. You find that your walk with God is not where it needs to be. You find that that voice that you used to hear, you don't hear it anymore. And so I want to challenge you. It's time to understand that you're in the grip of temptation. It's time to repent and to break out.
This is The Temptation Trap, James chapter 1, verse 13 through 18.
You know, we all face temptations of many kinds in many ways. And we have a tendency to blame it on others. It's a lot easier when we fall into temptation to say it was someone else's fault. How about it? And I'm not sure exactly what your struggle is today, but I believe that temptation is oftentimes like a trap. It's one of those things that lures us in, and once we are lured in, then it snaps on us, and it gets a grip on us, and it does damage to our life, but in the beginning, it seems like a lure. You know, a couple years ago, I found some mouse droppings in my garage. And my wife has a fetish against mice. And so she was panicking whether these mice would get in the house. And so I went out and I bought some traps. My goal was, do not let these mice get in the house. And so I put a trap out there. I put some cheese on it when they snap. And the next day I went out there and the cheese was gone and the trap had not snapped. It's like, man, these are like smart mice. And so I had to figure out what was going to lure them in a little bit. And so someone told me, try peanut butter. And so I did put a little peanut butter on there. And I figured it'd be harder to get the peanut butter off. And, you know, lo and behold, I caught a couple of them. But I had to use the right lure. Little did they know when they smelled that peanut butter and that mouse started going over to that trap. Little did he know. He just thought he was getting lunch. Desire sets in, entices them. And when he's about to get it, then suddenly the trap snaps and it's the end of the mouse. Many of us have struggled like that with temptation in our life. And James in this passage is talking to us about how to understand how temptation works. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 13 of James chapter 1. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So today, as we look at the book of James, we're going verse by verse through the entire book of James, I want to focus for a moment on this whole idea of temptation. And in essence, what I want to help break down today, I want you to understand how temptation works, because I think a lot of us fall into temptation. Some of us are in a cycle of temptation. Some of you keep doing the same thing over and over and over, repenting, feeling sorry for it, but doing it over and over and over because you haven't quite understood the power of temptation, how it works, and how to break its cycle. So I'm going to talk to you about the problem of temptation. I want you to understand the process of temptation, and I want you also to understand the protection against temptation. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Number one, understand the problem. You see, what James explains to us is that the problem is not on the outside. The problem actually is on the inside. The weakness inside, not the circumstances on the outside, is our greatest challenge. He has just talked to the tribes that are scattered about trials. And so the first 12 verses of James chapter 1 are about trials. When trials come to your life, when your faith is tested, when you're going through a difficult time, it may be financial, it may be physical, it may be a marital crisis, it may be a family crisis, but something that tempts your faith. And it seems to be that some people were blaming God for temptation. They were saying, well, God is tempting me, kind of luring me in to do evil. And so James has to clarify, first of all, that, yeah, God allows trials into your life, but God is never the author of temptation. And so notice what he says in verse 13. He says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Sometimes people confuse tempting and testing. There are two concepts that are easy to confuse, but they're radically different. Testing is to prove or try a person's quality or character. You get the news that your job is closing down and everybody's moving to Texas. And then suddenly you start panicking over your finances and what's going to happen. And are you really going to trust God? And how's that going to work? And so that's testing. Your faith is being tested about the future. Can you trust God? Are you going to lose your joy? Are you going to get filled with anxiety? That's testing. Testing is different than tempting. Tempting or temptation is to persuade or entice someone to do something that is immoral or wrong. You understand the difference? One is testing your faith. The other is luring you to do something wrong. A woman at work keeps sending you flirtatious signals and inviting you out to a couple of drinks after work. And you know that there's something loaded behind there. You know this is not just a friendly chit-chat, but she is enticing you and getting more and more overt about that enticement. And that is enticing you to be unfaithful in your marriage, and that is enticing you to do something that's wrong. That's temptation. One is testing, and one is temptation. And what James says, basically, is that God never, never tries to entice you to do evil. So don't say, well, you know, I was praying to really do well in my life, and the Lord sent this girl with a really short miniskirt to tempt me. No, no, not God. May have been her choosing her wardrobe in the morning, but God is not tempting you to lust. God never tries to do that. God is not that way. It's like you putting pot on your kitchen table for your 12-year-old to see if you can get him to smoke. No, God doesn't work that way. He's not trying to lure you into doing something wrong. God is never the person. So never blame God. Never say, well, God tempted me and I fell, because God doesn't tempt us to do evil. And so James is trying to explain to the people that he's talking to, stop blaming it on God. Now, the word for testing and the word for temptation are very similar in the Greek, but they have a different connotation. I believe that what was happening to the people that James was talking to is that they were failing their testing, giving into temptation, and then they were trying to blame it on someone. I've discovered with temptation that it's so easy to try to blame it on someone. Sometimes we blame it on God. God was tempting me. Sometimes we blame it on the devil. The devil was luring me. Or sometimes we blame it on our circumstances. If my circumstances hadn't been that way, I would not have fallen. So we blame God, the devil, circumstances, and others. And what James is saying is you're looking at the wrong place. If you're trying to blame God or the evil spirits in the world or your mother-in-law, you're looking at the wrong place, because the real source of your temptation is not out there. The real source of your temptation is in here. It's in your heart. So if you want to guard against temptation, it's about guarding your heart. So this is what he says. He says, by the way, God cannot be tempted by evil. In other words, God cannot give in to evil. It tells us in Scripture that Jesus was tempted in every way just like we are. But because Jesus was born with a perfect nature, Jesus was not born with the sin nature like you and I were born with. Every human being, by the way, that has been born since Adam and Eve fell in the garden has been born, conceived with the sin nature. That means that from birth, you have the predisposition, the inclination to sin. No one has to teach you how to sin. You don't have to teach a baby how to be selfish. One of the first words they learn is mine. If you don't believe that, just go to the nursery over there. You say, man, it's kind of a rough place sometimes, the nursery. Or the toddler. I mean, they get into it. Toy, hitting. We got to break up little fights there. And you could blame it on the parents right away. But let me tell you, it's built in the heart of a child. Every human being has a fallen nature.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Temptation Trap, which is from Pastor Mark's new series called James, Faith That Works. After the broadcast, I will tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of James, and tonight's Straight Talk message is called Temptation Trap.
Ever since Adam and Eve fell, theologians call it the fall of man. Sin nature was birthed in us. The sin nature is passed down through the seed of man. Every child that's born has the predisposition to sin. When a child is old enough, that child will sin. We can't blame it on the environment. Environment accelerates sin. If there's a broken household, if there's a lot of chaos in the house, it accelerates sin. But no matter if you were raised in a great household or you were raised in a dysfunctional household, you will sin. You will fall because you have the sin nature. Jesus is called the second Adam because there are only two men in the history of humanity that did not have the sin nature. Adam, who was the first man that was created by God, was not created with the sin nature. He developed the sin nature when he sinned. But Adam did not have to sin. He didn't have the pull of sin. He was not a slave to sin. He was not built with the predisposition to sin. He made the choice to sin. Every human being that's been born after Adam, we have the predisposition. We are slaves to sin. Jesus is called the second Adam because when Jesus was born, he was not born through the seed of man, right? Have you ever asked yourself, why did Jesus have to be born of a virgin? Because it wasn't the seed of man that impregnated Mary. He bypassed the sin nature, and Mary was conceived. The baby inside of her was conceived supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus was born, he was born without the sin nature because he was all God and became fully man. So he was the God-man with no sin nature. Tempted like all of us, But when he had no sin nature, he was not given to fall into temptation. And what James is telling us here is that although temptation is going to be hurled against God, God will never give in to temptation because he cannot be tempted to fall into evil because his very nature is good. And because he cannot be tempted, he neither tempts anyone to evil. God does not use evil to try to tempt you to fall. You need to understand that. God is blamed for a lot of things that he's not responsible for. The very nature of God cannot be tempted. In fact, the word in the Greek here, when it says God cannot be tempted by evil, the word is more like God is inexperienced with evil. He has no experience with evil. His nature has no practical experience with evil. And he does not use evil to tempt other people. So, when we sin, when we fall into temptation, you can't blame God. The blame game has happened since the very beginning of humanity. Scripture tells us when Adam and Eve were placed in this idyllic environment. And by the way, sometimes we believe that people are products of their environment and that if we just had a better world that no one would sin, but it's not that way. Sin is inside of us. In fact, theologians that study this deeply would speak to the total depravity of man. In other words, that we're not born good. We are born in the image of God, but we are born broken. We are born sinful human beings. Humanists would have you believe that we are born good and that we're products of our environment. And if we just have a ideal environment, that this would be a perfect utopia world. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches us that we are born broken. There's depravity inside of us. There's evil inside of us that's come through the sin nature. And it is only the power of Jesus and the power of the resurrection, the new birth, that actually is able to cleanse the sin nature out of us. And that's why the Bible says that we must be what? Born again. It's when we're born again that we receive a new nature made in the image of God that gives us the power not to have to give in to sin, but now that we are able to respond to God. So James is explaining this, that God has no sin nature inside of us. And if you look into the Garden of Eden, you'll realize that when Adam and Eve sinned, that I want you to notice that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 12 through 13, it says, when Adam sinned and Eve sinned, that man said, "The woman who you gave me to be with, she gave me from the tree and I ate." God said to Adam, "Adam, why did you fall?" You know what he said? "The woman." By the way, the woman you gave me. What was Adam doing? He was blaming another person, and he was ultimately saying, "God, it's your fault, because if you wouldn't have given her to me, I wouldn't have fallen. You gave me this woman. She messed me up." Sounds like a lot of husbands I talked to today. You're still using Adam's old phrase. "It's the woman you gave me." So you see from the beginning that we were blaming someone else for our fall. God and the woman. You know, Proverbs 19:3 says, "A man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord." In other words, we make our own mistakes, we fall, we blow it, yet oftentimes we point to God and say, "God, why are you doing this to me?" And so James is saying to begin with that God is not the author of temptation. God isn't tempting you. God is not luring you to evil. If you fell, don't blame it on God. God doesn't want you to fall. God may test your faith, but he never lures you to do what is wrong. That's number one thing he wants us to understand. Number two, understand the process. You need to not only understand the root, but you need to understand the process of how temptation works in our life. So temptation has a full completion cycle, and when it is finished, it brings about spiritual death. So verse 14 says, "It's not God who tempts us to do evil, but each of you is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. In essence, what he's saying is that sin in our lives doesn't just pop up and we fall. No one just falls into sin. Sin grows, and if we allow it to grow, it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger in our life until it overpowers us, and then it begins to control us, and ultimately it leads to spiritual death. When someone says, well, I don't see how they happened, they must have just fallen all the way. No, you never fall all the way. Just like someone doesn't just have a baby suddenly. It's like, I just saw her last week, and boy, she gave birth to a baby. Wow, that was fast. No, it wasn't fast. It took 9 months. There was a conception. There was an identification of pregnancy. There's a gestational period. It starts to grow, and you say, well, I never saw it. Yeah, you didn't see what was happening, but that pregnancy has been happening for a while. You couldn't see that she was pregnant because it wasn't noticeable. But it doesn't just happen. It evolves, it grows, and when it comes to a critical point, then there's a birth that happens. And so what James is explaining is that sin is the same way. Someone doesn't just become a drug addict overnight. Someone doesn't just have an affair overnight. You don't become an alcoholic overnight. You don't become a bitter, angry person overnight. You don't become a critical, negative person overnight. This is a process of development where something starts as a seed and it begins to grow and grow and grow, and it goes from one stage to the next until it overwhelms our life. And so that's exactly what James is saying. He's explaining the process. He says, this is the temptation progression. If you notice in the scripture, he says, well, first of all, it starts with desire. Let me say something about desire. Desire is not bad. We all have legitimate desires, but that we try to fulfill in illegitimate ways. Are you tracking with me? You say, well, I just want to be happy. Great. That's not a bad desire, the desire for happiness. But if your happiness means that you're going to bail out on your marriage and shack up with that girl that's 15 years younger than you because you're pursuing happiness, then there's a problem with your pursuit of happiness. Are you tracking with me? Is the desire to be happy wrong? No, it's not the desire. It's the way you choose to fulfill that desire that makes it wrong. We all have legitimate needs that we try to fulfill in illegitimate ways. You know how many conversations I've had with people sitting down at the table with, and they say, well, I don't understand how this could be wrong. After all, doesn't God want me to be happy? And if this makes me happy, then I can't see why it's not God's will for my life. Do you know how many conversations I've had with people that start with the fact that if this makes me happy, then God probably approves of it? I remember talking to a 20-year-old girl that was having an affair with a married man. And I was saying, hold on, you're a believer, right? Yeah. I said, how in the world can you justify having an affair with a married guy? His wife doesn't know you're involved in that. I mean, how can you live with that? Well, I know that it sounds unusual. And you probably won't understand. Test me. Try me. Come on. Well, I was not very happy before. I was feeling lonely, and this really makes me happy. And so I prayed, oh Lord, bring a man into my life. Lord, I need a man. I don't want to be alone. And I wasn't really looking for him. It just kind of happened, and we just really connected. And his wife, boy, she's an ogre. She is, he tells me about her. I mean, she's really, and so we just really connected, and it makes me happy. So if it makes me happy, isn't it God's will for me to be happy? And the Bible says every good gift is from above. And so if this makes me happy, it must be God's will. No, it doesn't work that way.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called James, Faith That Works. Tonight was the first half of his message called The Temptation Trap. Join us tomorrow as we complete the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself for the evening. Thank you so much for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow for the second half of Pastor Mark's message called Temptation Trap. Have a great night, and God bless.